Wasn't it Alfred Hitchcock who used to start his films, or were they his TV shows, saying, "Good evening," and then follow with a story which would scare the living daylights out of you? Anyway, I'm saying good evening in that spirit, and coming out of my house with a white dog, a dog with white hair, and he's 1.5 years old, and his name is Rocky, and his breed is a Cotton de Tulier, T-U-L-E-A-R, and it's highly unlikely that any of you have ever come across one of these dogs. But anyway, that's who I'm with, and he's got a lead on him, which is about, I don't know, about six to 8 feet long, and we're going on our usual ramble. And it's a dry, goodness, evening. And I'm talking to you from a place called Cork in the south of Ireland. And, yeah, and that's the location. I'm in a small housing estate. And walking the dog, a series of audio booths, I'm not sure how many I've made, has probably revealed to you that I actually know relatively little about dogs. I grew up with dogs, a couple of boxers in Limerick, one of which unfortunately was poisoned in a field behind the house, and another of whom was hit by a car. Now, I thought nothing of this as a child, although I'm sure I was very, very sad that Simon, the first one, was poisoned. He had won prizes at the Limerick Dog Show. But really, when I think about what would happen if my own dog was killed, I would be very upset. So I actually don't know. My mother was somebody who took adversity like that in her stride, or I sometimes used to think it was in denial. But anyway, there were those. We apparently had an Alsatian when I was practically unable to, you know, was very, very young, and he did something like throw himself up on top of a pram when either my brother or sister was in it, and scared the living daylights out of my parents, who then found another home for him. We had a dog who was a Lakeland Terrier, whose name is Rebel, and whose name was Rebel, and he was the long stay dog. He really survived a long time in the house, and I've even invented stories about Rebel to tell to my daughter Grace. So Rebel is a character in a whole series of stories for my child, which were invented. Things like the day that, you know, Rebel met a princess, and the day Rebel went up in a rocket. God, that must be influenced by Tintin, which, oh, I did actually love those books. Although I'm more an Asterix and Obelix fan than I am Tintin, but I still like Tintin. So I grew up with dogs, and my mother must have been particularly keen on dogs, because many, many years later, for the most part after I had left home, she got an Irish wolfhound, whose name I think was Cara. And the Irish wolfhound, enormous dog, you know, slim, used to lie down by the fire. I had hardly any interest in the dog. I was away, I think, for most of the time. So I can't imagine how my mother and brothers and sisters coped with having dog. We had a garden that the dog could run around in. So, in fact, none of our dogs were taken for a walk around the road. No, I don't think any of them. Come on, Rocky. You have to come with me. I'm not going to let you off and you go in the other direction. Somebody, actually it was John, I nearly said John L. Sullivan, who was a boxer, wasn't he? No, John D. Sullivan in Cork today. Or it wasn't him, it was somebody who was in the same group today, said I once recorded an audio book called, an audio poo, it was called Audio Poo with the Dog, And I'd forgotten all about this, but it was a woman actually, said that she cracked her up. So I'm thinking to myself, I perhaps should call this audio boo, based on what's happening now, an audio pee. Perhaps I should count the number of times. The dog doesn't do a poo in the evening. In fact, some evening he will. He has probably done a poo about once in the evening. And if it happens tonight, I've come out without anything, without a poop scoop, or without even a plastic bag with which to pick up the droppings. And I would hate that, because I remember the last time I had to do it, when I had nothing, I had to go looking for leaves. Although this is a good time of the year to be looking for leaves, and there are big trees around here, so some of the leaves will be big enough. Now there's a little bit. Any of you who are squeamish, I'm getting squeamish myself even going down that direction. So, another day into the ether. Time passed. Is it really gone? I wonder. Sometimes I think, well, if there was another dimension in which each day continued to play, you know, all the time, and was still actually going on, and that there's present where this is going on, and there's a future where everything that will be is going on. I think I'm reminded of Dark Materials trilogy by Phil Pullman, and I'd have to say, since that book popped into my head, what a wonderful time I had reading that trilogy. I don't know if you've read it. They're fairly long, each of them, and I don't know what I was doing. I wasn't doing very much at the time. But I remember being so engrossed, and practically, I think I read the whole of Dark Materials trilogy in 1 week, which for me is equivalent of running the mile in less than 3.5 minutes. It was absolutely racing. I'm a slow reader. Don't actually finish many books, I have to admit, except thrillers. But for the most part, I use books. I mark them, highlighting pens and notes in margins and all that. And why on earth am I talking about stuff like that? I almost went on to tell you what it was like to be the son of a bookseller, and how I'd grown up with books all my life. But I didn't come out to do that. I came out here to look up in the sky and see that it's not actually half as clear as it was last night. And indeed, there's a bit of a lot of precipitation. I get confused about humidity, I must tell you. I think when it's high humidity, it means that there's lashings of moisture in the air. And when it's low humidity, it's the other way around. But this is an embarrassing admission, that it's one of these things that whenever I have to use the word humidity, which I generally avoid, come on, I double check. I wonder if you have any, you know, kind of crazy things that you have to double check every time. I have to check the spelling of yacht. I found that the most peculiar word. Whoever invented the word yacht and gave it the... Not who invented the word, but whoever sort of determined that it would be pronounced like that, I don't know. It's almost like one of these words, like in Irish, when you have... I have a niece called Sive, and, you know, I've won a few pints in my time betting people that they can't spell the word Sive. And I'm not talking about spelling it the way John B. Keane spells it in the name of his play, which I think is a S-I-V-E. But this is, would you believe, S-A-D-H-B-H. Now, to those of you... listening with English, with ears, you know, able to understand English, S-A-D-H-B-H would be, is impossible to pronounce, I'd have thought. You got some wonderful pronunciations of Siobhan, S-I-O-B-H-A-I-N, I think it is, with a long accent over the A. But all that is not to present the picture that I'm able to speak Irish, but just to ramble at whatever comes into the head. I think that it's time I did some other kind of audio booze. Today I really went very close to the, oh, whatever you call it, Occupy Cork site down next to the Electric Cork, which is a fine bar, bistro, restaurant, a place in the centre of Cork. Right next to it is a small camp where people have been sleeping at night in solidarity with the Occupy Wall Street or Occupy New York people. So I can't even remember why I mentioned this place. Oh yes, I got the idea today that what I would do would be, when I finished chatting with some really nice people in Electric Cork, I would go outside and I'd do a kind of bit of a live interview, impromptu, on the spot, with whoever was there, and I'd describe what was happening. And I was looking forward to doing that, except I let the time pass, chatting away, and I ran out of time to do it. And the dog is being very attentive to something. You know, I'm going to have to get back to, these books by Dr. Hessian or something like that, about, you know, shrubs and how to look after your lawn and how to look after your rockery and whatever. There's a whole series of them. That's kind of the little book that I use for plant spotting and noticing what I don't. I think that was something like a cotoneaster, but I'm one of these people who goes out in the countryside and knows the name of five trees with confidence, and another five which I can chance my arm at, and like I'd say an elder tree, and I'd think, well, that's not a this, that's not a that, that's not the other, therefore there's a good chance that actually is an elder. Or else I see one and I say, oh, that's a tulip tree. Why? Because I used to know tulip trees when I came across them first when I worked for the National Trust in England, Wales and Northern Ireland. And I visited some great, great gardens. Are you a gardener? Yes. It was lovely to find out that Telling Tales doesn't now have a dog. I mean, that's in the public arena, and but did have a dog for a while before. I'd love to know if you have a dog. I was talking to John Dee again today, and he said he was a real dog lover, and he was actually interested in the photograph of Rocky, which I liked. Oh my goodness, 13 and a half minutes, that is too much, too much. Look, I bid you a really nice evening, good night, and all the best. From Paul Emani, all the very best. I wish you best. Bye-bye.